Well, Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of speaking your word tonight, of hearing your word. Thank you, sir, so much for imparting your wisdom to us, granting us the honor and privilege of being before your throne as your family. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for enlightening our understanding on one of the most important parts of our Christianity, our prayer life. Lord, we thank you for revelation knowledge tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You all have the previous message, which was what is real prayer. I'm just going to go run down through there, and unless the Lord says something else, I'm just going to make the main points, and then we'll jump off to what we're doing in number 12. Today is message number 12, God's living word, the guarantee and anchor in our prayer life. We mentioned in message 11 these few points. The most important vital keys to a successful prayer life, or there's three of them. Well, there's more, but three of the most important is our love walk, the abiding word, and our faith. Those three must be present in order for us to have answered prayer, in order for us to have a successful prayer life. Our love walk, you know, is 2 Corinthians 13, 4-8. Actually, a scripture itself outlines what a love walk is. That must be there. We must walk the love walk. The other is the abiding word. That's a word that abides. That's a word that is in my spirit. It's a word that I'm studying, a word that I'm meditating on, a word that I'm feeding on. It's feeding my spirit. It's the abiding word. And our faith, which is applied to the word. And naturally, our faith does not work without love. So those three must be there. If one is missing, then it will hinder or prevent our prayer life. It will keep us from having answered prayer or prevent it or hinder it, you know, in some way. So if you're having a hindered prayer life in some kind, some way, something that just keeps going on, and it's just like I don't have an answer, check up on those three. Because the answer is there somewhere. There's somewhere in those three, you're off center somewhere. And if you ask the Holy Spirit, He will show you what they are. Then we mentioned the question, the title of part 11 was, what is a real prayer life? So a real prayer life is communion, fellowship, and communication with God Himself. That's what real prayer is. It's based on love. It's based on covenant, and it's based on God's word. It is so much more than just asking for something. It's so sad that the majority of the people, Christian people that have been in the word most of their lives, if not all of their lives, don't know that. They think that prayer is just asking. Real prayer is communion, fellowship, and communication with God Himself. It is based on love, covenant, and God's word. It's so much more than just asking for something. Prayer brings great, abundant joy to the Father God when we commune with Him. Prayer is always two ways. That's why it's so much more about communion with God, fellowshipping with Him, talking with Him, receiving His word. That's why it's so valuable to Him, why He wants us to pray. We commune with Him, fellowship. And that's the most powerful part of prayer. It's when He's able to pour His self into us in the fullness of His love. That's what He wants. That's what real prayer is. Now, part of it is asking, but when I've got that kind of fellowship with God, when that's my lifestyle with Him, it brings me joy, it brings Him joy, but then there's nothing hindering Him pouring out the answers. And then what I'm going to be asking Him for is going to be what His will is.
Yeah.
My desire is to bring His will to pass. That's because I'm walking in love with Him. It's so much more than just asking for things, although that is a part of our prayer life. Asking. What are we asking for? I've got to be careful. I'll get back on that again. Our love, Communion and fellowship with God will bring rest and peace to us. Right in the middle of the deepest, hardest challenges of life, that kind of communion with God will bring a rest in the middle of that storm that we cannot have otherwise. Prayer is also as much about declaring the word with thanksgiving as it is about asking. I need to be declaring more than I ask. In other words, I find out what God's word says, and I declare what he says, receiving that, more than asking him to do something. I need to find out what he's already done first, and declare that and receive it. Real prayer cannot be boring. When we are, that still strikes us funny. Real prayer cannot be boring when we are genuinely communing with the Father God himself, because there's a love relationship going between the two of us. It cannot be boring. God's word is the highest law. It's highest. There's no higher law. It is spiritual law by which all things were created and consist. It is a higher law than natural law. It will override all natural law, but it must be activated. We are the ones that activate the law. We activate the word. We apply our faith to the word. That's why those three elements are there. Our love walk, the abiding word, and our faith. Our faith, it's our faith. We apply our faith to that word. That's our job. We activate it. And then that law kicks in. But if we do not activate the law by declaring it, by speaking to it, and activating that word, if we do not do that, the higher law doesn't work. The lower law is working. You've got to remember that there's always a law working. Everything works by law. There's the law of life in Christ Jesus, and then there's a law of sin and death. Those two laws, one or the other, is always working. The law of sin and death always works unless we apply the law of life in Christ Jesus. That's the word. We have to apply that. That's our job. We declare. We decide which one's going to work.
Well, the law of sin and death is operated through our carnal.
It's our carnal nature. That's what it is. And we don't have to choose that. That's automatic. And even though we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and by the blood of Jesus, we're in Christ, so the law of sin and death does not have a right to function where we're concerned unless we allow it to. And by not choosing the law of life in Christ Jesus, we've automatically chose the other one, so it has a right to work. Even though we're redeemed, it can work because I'm not applying the law of life in Christ Jesus. That's my fault. Okay? So those are some important facts that we need to know about our prayer life. We need to also know the incredible love that God the Father has for us. And that we are even here and now his sons and daughters. Right now, sitting here, we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. That's a vital key to our prayer life. See, if we come to God as old beggars, not going to get very much. Yeah. But we come as sons and daughters. We have a right to do that because that's who we are if we're born again. If not born again, now the others apply. But it's vital to our prayer life when I come to pray, that I'm coming as a son. I'm coming as someone that has a right in the throne room, someone that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. I have a right there, and I have a right to the word. That word is my inheritance. Mm-hmm. I have a right to lay claim to it because Jesus died for it. He paid the price so that it would, that all of that inheritance would be available to us. And then he probated his own will when he rose from the dead. So all that stuff belongs to us, but we have to tap into it. We have to receive our inheritance. That's part of our prayer life. That's what happens when we commune with him in love and walk in love. A lot of the circumstances of life that we struggle with, won't even be there. Because we manufacture them with our carnal nature. But if I'm walking in love with the Father, and I'm in His loving Word, I'm allowing the Word to have its place in my heart, a lot of the things that would normally be a challenge for me are not. I completely miss some of the problems that I have that would normally be there. One of those things is, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to love you. Now, you may argue with me, but an argument's a two-way street. If I don't argue back, you run out of steam real quick. And that may make you madder. But see, if I'm walking in love with the Father, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to be in strife with you. And if I get that way, I'm going to repent right away and fix it because of my love relationship with my Father. So the problems and issues that come out of those arguments don't happen. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't agree with you. See, I'm going to agree with either God and the Word and love, or I'm going to agree with the argument. I'm disagreeing with you, but I'm agreeing with strife. Mm-hmm. I'm allowing it to function. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything about it. It has a right to function because I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. But see, when I choose to walk in love anyways and think the best of that person, that's part of the love walk, and take no account of a suffered wrong, when I do that, my prayer life stays intact. My relationship is right with God. The angels are working out here. My mind is being quickened by the Holy Spirit on how to handle that circumstance. Because I'm listening. And when those times come, I'm more interested in how this thing is affecting you than I am about how it's affecting me. Because it's not going to affect me because of my relationship with the Father. But I am genuinely concerned about how it's affecting you. Because it will affect you. And when there's strife, there's two in that situation. They're linked together in strife. But when one's not there, or one chooses not to fuss or fight or argue, that breaks that. It breaks the thing. But as long as I'm arguing with you, I'm connected with that. And love can't flow there. And it completely blocks my prayer life. It will affect the future. So I have to guard against that. And when those opportunities come up, I got to do battle with it. I can't do anything about what you do. I can only pray for you. But I can do something about my response. Even if that's saying nothing. I'm getting off on that too much. I won't get far enough. But I've got some things I got to do, so I got to flow here. But we need to be convinced that I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of God, even here and now. And that's in 1 John 3, 1 and 2. I wasn't going to read it, but I am. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And 1 John 4:18 says, as 17 says, as He is, so are we in this world. And if you go to the book of Galatians also has a lot to say about us being sons and daughters now. So I need to renew my mind to that. I am God's son. That's who I am in Christ. I am His son.
He quite literally prayed to God to extend all that had been given to him to any that would call on His name.
Yes, that's what he said. That's what he said. There's so many guarantees in prayer. Ask what you will and it shall be done to you. But there's a condition to that. If you do what is pleasing to Him in His sight. There's always conditions to those things, but there's a lot of definite promises in the Bible which we don't have time to go into. We need to know that God Himself said to come boldly to the throne of God's grace in the time of need. We have been invited to his throne room by God himself. Most people that pray don't know that. Even though they've read the scripture, it doesn't dawn on them what it's saying. God himself called us into his throne room. And he didn't say, come in there afraid of him. He said, come in there boldly. Hebrews 4:16, and I'll read the Amplified. Let us then fearlessly, confidently, and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy. Doesn't mean we will receive it. It says we may receive it. The receiving of it is up to me. I do the receiving. God does not do the receiving. He gave it. He gives it. When I come in boldly to the throne of grace, my job is to receive that grace. I may receive it, or I am able to. It's possible for me to, but I may reject it. It's up to me to receive what he's given. Okay? That we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace. What do you do when you find something? Don't you look for it? So I'm seeking this grace. I'm receiving the mercy, seeking the grace to receive it. So it's there, it's available, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, and well-timed help coming just when we need it. I like the Amplified. So he's not holding it back. He's not holding it back on me. He wants to give it, but I have to position myself to receive it. And if I come crawling in there like a beggar, I can't receive.
Yeah.
He's given it, but I can't receive it. First of all, I can't get in there that way. Okay, again, I'll read that so I got it on the tape properly. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help, and well-timed help coming just when we need it. So if I'm coming in there asking for this help, I'm guaranteed the answer. God guarantees it. It doesn't mean it'll come early. It'll come at the right time. So I walk out of there knowing it's coming. Positively, I know. Because he said it. So I don't question it coming. The enemy will try to get you to question. Why does he want you to do that? The devil will try to start you questioning, and that turns into doubt. You'll unplug, and it will not come. Because your faith's not working anymore, you doubted. You started questioning it. Why did you question it? Because you don't believe it anymore. If you genuinely hold to it and you anchor in it because God said it, when that doubt comes up, you're going to cast it out. No, for it is written, God said. You'll do battle with it. But if you don't do that, if you entertain that doubt, then it weakens, hinders, or aborts your prayer. Satan knows that. He's trying to steal the word from you. And he's very successful with it. Because we don't know that. We're not taught that. See, I'm the one that has to protect that prayer. I'm the one that protects it with the word. I'm anchored in it. I protect it with thanksgiving. I keep going back to the scripture, for it is written. That's how I take those thoughts captive to the obedience of that word. And that happens. You have to protect your prayer once you pray it. You can't just pray it and walk out and entertain doubt and unbelief. Then you get mad at God because it didn't work. Well, God did his part. You didn't do yours. It's a two-way street. It affects both of us.
Yeah.
Okay. We think God's going to do it all. No, we're involved in that. We're involved in the answer. We have to protect that word. Keep that faith applied. Keep that hope, which is absolute earnest expectation. That's Bible hope. Absolute earnest expectation. It's not maybe it will, maybe it won't. But Bible hope The definition for Bible hope is absolute, earnest expectation. And if it's absolute, and I earnestly believe it, and I expect it, then that's what I got to hold on to. My faith is applied to the Word, which energizes that hope. And patience links the two. So I have to do battle to protect it. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Our attitude based on God's Word has a lot to do with our success in prayer. That's what that confidence is. When I come boldly into the throne of grace, I'm coming with confidence. I'm not coming worried. I'm not coming in fear. I'm coming to my Father because He called me there. He opened the door and He invited me in. And He gave me the very word that I need to speak to Him. He even gave me that. So He gave me everything to say. He gave me everything to believe. He died so it would be finished. He done everything. All I got to do is bring Him His own word and believe it. And walk out with my answer because He said it. I walk out with my answer. It's definite, absolute, I have it. Then I've got to take care of it. He's going to continue to do His part, but I have to do mine. Most of us pray, that's it. And a lot of what we pray isn't prayer at all. You know, so one thing we have to have when we pray is confidence. We must have confidence when we pray. When I know, I believe, I declare, and I stand on God's word as my anchor and the source of my prayer, I will always have confidence. That word gives me confidence. If I believe it, if I don't believe His word, I won't have confidence. So I'll have confidence because I believe His word, and the word itself is my anchor. That's why you base your prayer on the word. It becomes the anchor. That's why Jesus said in the garden, in the wilderness, "For it is written." He based what He said on the word, not on who He was. He based it on the word itself. That always fascinates me. Here's the living word of God Himself, the Son of God. And He's facing Satan who was cast out of heaven. And they're communicating. Satan's trying to pull Him away. Jesus didn't say, "Look, I'm the Son of God, get out of here." He didn't say that. He said, "For it is written." That's such a powerful statement to us if we get what's being said there. Jesus Himself used the word itself to defeat Satan. What do you think we're going to have to use? The same phrase, but we have to believe it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is my favorite scripture I told you last time, and I'm going to mention it again for the tape. This is where I start my prayer life. I got both the Amplified Classic and the New King James here version. I'm going to just go ahead and use the Amplified Classic because it's so powerful. And it illustrates exactly what our attitude should be when we pray. And I start my prayers here because even though I know this, I want it refreshed. I want this to come out of my mouth. I'm speaking it. I'm declaring it. God hears it, Satan hears it, I hear it. It reinforces me spiritually when I declare this. So I start here with my prayers. And then that settles everything I'm going to pray from there forward. 1 John 5:14 and 15. It's the same in any other version, but not as powerful, not as intense, not as full as it is. It doesn't drive it home like the Amplified does. "This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him." Come boldly to the throne of grace. "This is the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure." The first thing that I got to ask myself when I pray is, am I sure? Do I believe this word? If I'm sitting there, maybe, I don't know how this is going to happen. Science says this is not possible. What's that got to do with it?
It's like Jesse Duplantis says when he said when he'd start praying. He said, but you know how you are, God. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, you know.
That's not true. Matter of fact, God's already answered every prayer.
Yeah.
It's already done. Yeah. People don't realize that. He's done his part. God's word is his part of our prayer life. He's already gave us the answer. We're receiving it and activating it. So we should be sure when we pray. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, now that covers a lot of area, make any request according to his will. You know, people like the other part without that on there, but that qualifies what was just said, according to his will, in agreement with his own plan. He listens to and hears us. So if I'm praying the word, which is his will, he heard me. I don't have to ask where he heard me or not. He heard me. There's my guarantee right there, for it is written. Satan will say, he didn't hear you. You think, look at what you do and who you are. Do you think God's going to listen to you? Yeah, he died for me. Hey, he heard me. Plus, Satan, it's his will. It's his idea. So definitely he heard me. Sometimes you got to talk that way. When your mind starts that, start speaking something confident out like that. Amen?
Amen.
That's what you have to do. You have to do battle with that stupid head. Well, it says here, he listens to and hears us. You know, there's, I like the way the Amplified adds words like that, because it's one thing to listen to somebody. It's quite another to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever talked to your kid and they're standing there looking at you? I know you have, mate.
Yeah.
And you know they heard you, but they didn't listen to you.
That's why they always used to complain about me. They said I didn't listen, like at work, you know. And
yeah.
And I would say, I heard every word you said, but I'm not going to agree with it.
Right.
We're not going to do it the way you want to do it. It's got to go by policy.
So that's,
well, you don't listen. I did listen. I heard every word you said.
I like the way the Amplified puts those. The other version says it listens to us. And that's good. That is good. Mm-hmm. I know that he heard me. Mm-hmm. But there's more to it than that. It listens to and hears us. Verse 15. And if, so he's still talking about the same thing, right? So we settle that he heard me. And if, since we positively know, is that the same as sure?
Yeah.
It, since we positively know that he listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know, with settled and absolute knowledge, that we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of him. So that settles it. Where I'm praying, when I'm praying his will, I pray the word. So because I'm praying the word, I prayed his will. So I know he heard me. And because I know he heard me, I know I have it. Now I may not see it, but I have it. Now I've got to walk out of there protecting that prayer. If anyone, I'm going to give you an example of that shortly. If anyone walks out and starts looking at the circumstance again, they never did believe what they prayed. They believe the circumstance or problem more than they do the answer. So what do you think they're going to get? They're going to get the circumstance or problem, wherever that takes you. Because you didn't believe the word. Whose fault is that? God heard you. Those angels grabbed that word right away because they hearkened to the voice of his word. They grabbed it right away, ready to go, and you turned it off. Well, okay. Gotta wait now. See, that this is reality. This is not just a story. This is what actually happens in the spirit realm when we pray. God hears. God did his part. He started the process. The angels do their job. The Holy Spirit rises up and starts bringing revelation. He starts moving around, doing things. But I walk out, the first guy I talk to, sorry, you broke it. Now you can reestablish it, but you have to repent of that. Because you sinned against your own prayer. And you get mad at God. God didn't do it. God's not guilty. He's doing his part. But you have to maintain that other part. That's your job with thanksgiving from that time forward. If we are to be successful in our prayer life, we must believe and be convinced that God's living word is absolute truth. If I don't believe the word of God is truth, absolute, whether I understand it or not, don't believe that, it's going to directly affect my ability to pray and getting answers. Because I don't believe. We're believers. What are we supposed to do? We believe. We're believing something. Either I'm believing the word and the answer to the problem, or I'm believing the problem. Well, I don't want that. But you're believing it. That's why you're preparing for it to happen. You're not doing anything with the word. You're not preparing for that word to come to pass. You went out and immediately started doubting it. So what are you preparing for?
Failure.
You're preparing for failure. You already set it up. You did not protect your prayer. When you pray, believe you receive when you pray, Jesus said. From that point forward, it's thanksgiving. Father, thank you. And I'll give you an example of that. I've been debating. I prepared for two different directions tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and do this way. What I did, I prepared some Bible-based prayers. Not the ones I gave you before. But these are prayers that you can pray for anyone for any reason. One of the most important areas that you can pray for a person is for revelation knowledge. The majority of problems we have are because we don't know enough. We're not in the Word. We just pray our feelings. We pray our emotions. And that has got nothing to do with it. We should never pray our feelings or emotions. They should never come up. Not when we pray. And once we prayed, that should govern our feelings and emotions. Because we settled it with God. So these are prayers that Paul prayed. He prayed these. And he prayed them for the church, which includes us. It's part of our inheritance. You can pray these prayers for yourself. You can pray them for somebody else. You can pray them for your family. You can pray them for the president. You can pray them for anyone. Now, what I do, what we both do, we have a prayer list of people, including you guys. We pray for you every day. We pray this word for you every day, more than this. But we pray for you by name. So we list out the people we're praying for and include the president.
Yeah.
I don't give a care about what you think about him. It has nothing to do with it. If you're not going to pray for him, you automatically accept the problems. And you can't pray the problem, can't pray for him and pray the problem and acknowledge the problem at the same time.
Criticize.
You can't criticize and pray at the same time. So if you pray for him, pray for him. If you don't see that word coming to pass in his life, you haven't prayed. But what do you say? What comes out of your mouth? Oh, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's doing the other. He's the worst guy that's ever been. That has nothing to do with what you're commanded to do. God commanded us to pray first for our leaders. For all leaders. He commanded it. That you may live a quiet and peaceable life. First. If I'm busy criticizing and condemning him, and then, God, pray for our president. What have you done? Why did you do that? Because you believed the other. You didn't believe the prayer. So what you are applying your faith to, you as a believer, what you are applying your faith to is the problem that you see as a problem. You're busy as a believing faith man or woman confessing the very thing you don't want to happen. You're calling it forth. You're not doing anything to change anything. And that goes the same with your kids, with the people you pray for, with those who are your enemies. You're double-minded. You can't do that. Once you pray, you have to stay with your prayer, no matter what you see. Your prayer has to govern your response. The word has to govern how you respond to other people. Well, I'm for this one, I'm for that one. Oh, they stole the election. Who cares? That man's in the office. Pray for him. If you don't want the problems that are going on, pray for him. If you want the problems, don't pray for him. Keep confessing what you are, what you're doing, but you'll be very displeasing to the Father. And it will affect your other prayers. I can guarantee it will. I know I'm kind of hard here, but
Really deep down, it goes all the way down to the core
of our being.
Of unforgiveness.
Yes, it does.
We don't like something that somebody did, even if it's somebody we never will know in our whole lives, but yep. We can blame them for something.
We don't call it that, but that's what it is.
But that's what it is unforgiveness.
It's
and
a
that's
root there.
The biggest stumbling block between heaven and earth that there is.
I wasn't planning on saying all of that.
I mean, it's a sin against the blood.
But I'm talking about the president here. Mm-hmm. But it's actually the same for everyone. No matter who it is, it's the same. Who hurts you in your life? What are you doing about it? Why aren't you praying for them? Why aren't you doing this? You're supposed to love your enemies. Do good,
Jesus said,
to those who persecute you. That's the commandment. If you're not doing that, if you're holding it against them, how can you get an answered prayer for them? It's going to affect you in other areas of your life. Because you're holding not only them in bondage, you're holding yourself.
Uh-huh.
And they can be dead and still doing it. Because they're dead, you're not. And you're still holding that. So it's got you in prison. It's damaging your faith. It's damaging your love walk. It's damaging your ability to function as a born-again child of God. It's probably affecting your health.
Could be.
And this is a dangerous thing. And that's why Satan tries to keep it there in front of you all the time. Because he knows what it does. And I know it's hard because all of us have got issues and things in our past we need to deal with. When you deal with them, they're in the rock of time. But it doesn't mean God will not bring them back up again, because there might be something you left undone. Mm-hmm. Or an attitude you have that you shouldn't have. Mm-hmm. So, when you pray for someone, mm-hmm. pray the word, and let that be the seal. The seal on it. From that point forward, that word I prayed governs what I say about that person. It governs what I listen to concerning that person. It governs my thoughts. I am building an inner image by this word of what I believe God desires. I'm praying His will, see, not mine. I'm praying His will over that enemy, over that family member, whatever it may be. I'm praying His will, which is always mercy, grace, loving kindness. His ways are always involved. That is what you're dealing with. How does God see this person? That's how I'm supposed to see them, no matter who they are. And then I've got to walk that out. But see, I'm not, when I say those things, it sounds like I'm saying you got to white knuckle your way through that. You know, and I'm going to do it. That's not what I'm talking about. You're not alone in that. If you use the word and you're doing it for love for the Father because he said to do it, if you're doing it by faith with the word as your anchor, the Holy Spirit will rise up and strengthen you.
Amen.
You'll have to repent because you'll miss it. Because you programmed your mind a certain way and it's going to come out. When it does, repent. Father, I'm sorry. I sinned against my prayer. I repent of that, Lord. I know that's not pleasing to you. So, Lord, I repent. And I thank you, Lord. According to 1 John 1:9, you have cleansed me from all unrighteousness because I've confessed my sin. And you're done. You're right back. And Father, I reaffirm my faith in that, what you're doing in that person's life. Get that word back out and reestablish it. Don't you know that's frustrating to the devil? I had him. He done it again. He can't do anything about it. You see, he cannot stop that prayer from happening. He's got to get you to stop it. Mm-hmm. Satan gets a lot of credit for destroying things. He can't do it. You destroyed it yourself. All he done was convince you to do it. He's a liar. If it's not love, it's not from God. Keep it that simple. Okay, so I said I was going to do this. We're going to do an example. Oh, thank you, Nate. There's four on here. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to do them all because I wind up preaching the prayer. But you take these home. I've done it this way so that you could see it yourself. That you could, and we'll do an example. One moment, yeah. And I'll give you an example because I will do the. I'll actually pray it. And
these are all.
You notice that there's underlined, you, your, we, us, like that. Those are places where you put the person's name in there, or the group. Those are places where you apply the prayer in a specific way that you want it to. I highly suggest that you sit down and make out a prayer list. And then before you pray this, you call those names out. You speak them, especially your enemies. Call them out. Write the names down. And every day, Father, today I pray for this person, this person, this person, this person. Don't be afraid to make it long or short. Whatever you feel you need to pray for. You can make it an individual person if there's somebody you're really dealing with specifically, or you can make it a group of people. When you call all those names out, might be 20 or 30, I've got a lot more than that, but 20 or 30 on there, say, Father, now as I confess this word, I'm confessing it over us, because I'm including myself. I confess this word over us, and I thank you, Father, that you hear my prayer. Remember, you're talking to the Father. Now, these scriptures talk about that He, that God, wherever it says He, meaning God or God, say you. You, Father. I'll give you an example. Because remember, you're praying. You're not just reading scripture. You're praying the Word. You're taking this Word. You're making it personal. You're directing it to a specific person or group. And you're talking to the Father Himself. So you're addressing Him as if you're talking to Him one-on-one. That's what prayer is. That's communion and fellowship. So wherever there's a you or a your, you adapt that. Now, for an example, I'm going to use President Biden. We have to pray for our president. It's a commandment. So I'm and not that somebody else gets the office. You're praying for the person in the office, no matter who he is. Okay. So this is the way I pray, and I always start in 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in you, Father. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to your will, in agreement with your own plan, you listen to and hear us. And if since we positively know that you listen to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions the requests made of you. Therefore, Lord, I pray for all of those people. Do your prayer list. And Father, I confess this word. I believe it. I receive it as manifestation. I pray, Father, for the seeing the greatness of your plan by which we are built in Christ, together in Christ. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, before you, Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. You, Father, from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May you, Father, grant us, or grant President Biden, let me say I'd use him, may you grant President Biden, out of the rich treasury of your glory, to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in his inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling President Biden's innermost being and personality. May Christ, through President Biden's faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in President Biden's heart. May President Biden be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. That President Biden may have the power to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of it? That President Biden may really come to know, practically, through experience for himself, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. That President Biden may be filled through all of his being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a person wholly filled and flooded with God himself. Now to you, Father, who by in consequence of the action of your power that is at work in President Biden, is able to carry out your purpose and do supernaturally far over and above all that President Biden dares to ask or think, infinitely beyond his highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. What do you think God's going to do? Can you see President Biden being that way? Now, if you look in the natural, no. No, he goes to that covenant table. This is a problem I have. He goes to that covenant table as a Catholic, body and blood of Jesus, and yet he's for killing babies. That's got to change. What do you think is going to happen now? I'm not seeing that anymore. And you're going to have to help me with that.
Well,
That's a real issue with me. Here's the body and blood of Jesus. He takes it, believing as a Catholic. And then...
Well, President Putin goes to church.
I know, he does the same thing. He does the same thing.
Wait a minute, are we criticizing him?
It showed him last Easter.
You've got to be very careful.
Church.
That's a good example. Because this is something I have to work on me for, because that's the one issue I have. I have to work on that because I hear that and I'm not thinking this, what I prayed. I'm thinking what he's doing, and he's better than that, and he knows. So this prayer locks me in. This prayer locks me in because what am I seeing? Am I seeing him in the middle of the night, God speaking to his heart? Or when he receives that, all of a sudden the revelation comes to him. What am I doing? What am I doing? That's how the Holy Spirit works if we pray. He sleeps at night and he has dreams. And he sees things. Oh, your old man will dream dreams. He's an old man. God will communicate with him. But not if everybody is against him. He can't. He has to have somebody to pray. And that's our job as believers. My inner image has got to be seeing him different than what I see in the natural. And when I see him doing those things, I got to go right back to this. That's why we pray it continuously. Now the next time I pray, Father, I thank you that President Biden has understanding, you know, and go through this thing with thanksgiving once I've settled it. I don't ask him again to do what he's already done. I'm seeing it, God is doing it. I'm seeing the Holy Spirit moving in his life. Now, this is the same way with a child you're praying for, the neighbor, your enemy. You can no longer see that person the way you see him.
The boss.
The boss? You have to see him based on what you pray. And if you ask the Holy Spirit, he will let you know that you're wrong in your what you're seeing. I mean, you've practiced for years hating that person. You practice it. You're good at it. Can't do that no more. You have to see him based on what you pray. Allow the Holy Spirit to develop that inner image. That's what hope does. I just applied my faith to this word. I activated it. Now that it's active, the angels are busy with it. I'm not the only one praying this. There's other ones praying this, the same way for him. So we are joined together, those that are actually praying. I don't know who they are, but God does. He's moving on the hearts of people. Hopefully it's you guys. But we're in agreement together. We're seeing this together. The angels are working. So this prayer becomes my anchor. And when I see something that's not here, we might need somebody like her to help me. Say, hey, don't sin against your prayer. What'd you pray? Oh, sorry. You got to mean business. But my old computer up here has a default. It goes right there. If I don't put something in there, you got a default printer. It goes there automatically. Well, you got to choose the other printer, you know, for it to print. And eventually, that other printer becomes the default. Because I'm busy with this. Now, after a while, it becomes harder to see what he's not doing. I'm building this thing to where the inner image is so strong, I don't acknowledge what he's doing in the natural. That's how you pray for your family. We've got a boy and a girl also that had basically disowned us, and we now have no idea why. But see, I can't see that no more. I got to put his name in here, declare the word, and settle it. Now, once I do that, from now on, that prayer governs how I see him. I cannot bring my mouth to what he's doing wrong. I cannot allow it in my thought life. I cannot acknowledge he's doing this and that and the other. I don't know what he's doing because there's no communication. But, and he has fixed his life. At least the last time we saw him, he had. But see, I can't see the negative. I have to do battle with that. I can't deny it. But now that I've prayed, I'm denying its right to function. But see, if I'm practicing what he's been doing, if I'm focusing on that, this won't work. I gotta apply my focus to what I'm believing. And that means a lot of times you've got to close your eyes and not say anything. You don't talk to your friend or your other family members about what they're doing wrong. And if they come up and talk to you about it, either you don't say anything, or you do what the Holy Spirit says at that time, or you start praying this. Hey, I've settled it. Depends on what the circumstances are. Sometimes you just can't say anything. Change the subject. But don't sin against your prayer. You got to see it that way. Because every time I acknowledge the problem, I change my focus. Am I making myself... I don't want it to be confusing, because this is so vital in our prayer life. It's why we don't get answers. It's why things take years to happen, because we keep turning it off. Or we keep asking God to do something He's already done. When I pray this, He's busy. He'd been waiting for this. So He started instantly when I prayed that. He applied my prayer. Now it might mean in the circumstance like president, there's so many negative things against him and he's doing a lot of things on purpose because his free will is involved. God may have to do some things and move some things around and have somebody else join their prayers with mine to get those things turned. But they'll turn. I don't know when. And it could come through a vision, through a divine appointment, through, I don't know. I don't need to know. I don't need to know how my boy is going to wind up having his understanding enlightened. I don't need to know that. I just know that it's going to happen. See, and my job is to build that inner image by the Spirit inside me. And that image gets so strong and so large that whenever something comes contrary to that, I've built it. I have a hard time getting over there to that other thing because I no longer see him that way. Now when I pray for him, I have joy. Because I know that God's doing what he said he would do. This is not something you can do one time and then walk off and forget it. You have to protect it. And you protect it with the word and with thanksgiving. Now, you notice the other prayers here all have underlines on it. You can pray these individually for someone. You can pray them specifically. You can pray all three of them. But I mean, if you pray these prayers, you're covering the whole sphere of everything they're involved in. If they come into understanding, have their eyes enlightened, eyes open and their ears open, and they come into the knowledge of their calling, they're going to answer that. Now they don't know any of that. But see, what we're doing is by praying this, we're binding Satan's influence. See, he can't stop that prayer. And as a parent, I have an authority that others don't have where our children is concerned. Now, they have authority, they can pray for them, they can get their prayers answered, but a parent or a child has more authority than anyone else. Like a child can pray for us, say we're not doing right, and they can pray for this prayer for us. They have authority to pray that. It's family, it's blood. See, there's something special there that we can pray for one another. But it's even more powerful if you can get somebody else praying with you.
Amen.
But that's what agreement prayer is, prayer of agreement. But you have to settle what you're agreeing on. You can't just say, pray that he gets saved. Agree with me on that. Well, what are you using for scriptures? What are you using? What are we agreeing on? You've got to be specific. Prayer of agreement means you're being specific. You're agreeing on something together. And that means now, because you're agreeing on it together, you both have to protect that prayer.
Amen.
You both have to do the same thing. You have to build that image together. Because you're agreeing. If I see something happening over here and you see something else, well, there's no agreement in that. So it means communication. It means applying your lives together. These are strong prayers. These are outstanding prayers. Like Colossians 1:9 down there. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for President Biden, asking that President Biden may be filled with the full, deep, clear, and knowledge of your will in all, now again, we're talking to God, knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. Isn't that what he needs?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that what your family or your enemies need? Mm-hmm. So you're covering everything. If they got that, they'll see where they're wrong. The process will begin in their lives to where they can kind of change, and God can start moving in their lives. Now, it's still up to them. They can still reject it. But don't stop. That President Biden may walk, live, and conduct himself in a manner worthy of the Lord. Oh boy, does he need that. Fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, with fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. We pray that that President Biden may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to you, Father, who has qualified President Biden and made him fit to share the portion which is his inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. You, Father, have delivered and drawn President Biden to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and have translated President Biden into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom President Biden have redemption through his blood, through your blood, which means the forgiveness of his sins. I mean, I want him to have that, don't you? Can you pray that for your family and your loved ones? Then don't see anything else when you pray it. The next time is Thanksgiving for that. You had Thanksgiving. Father, thank you. I know you heard me, Lord. I know you heard me. This is the way you pray. And it's, I know it's not taught because it takes time to teach this. This has been a study on the Bible. And I was aiming just to do just a short little thing on prayer and come back prayer in the future, you know. But just to show how the Word works with prayer, how it functions, how you use the Bible as a tool, as a sword in your prayers and in your life. And just see the Bible working. But this is getting a little deeper than I thought I was going to get with it. But that's okay. I pray every week to see what God wants us to talk about. And this is what I think we need to do. We need to be serious about our prayer life. And it's the one place that so many people aren't.
The lesson in this study is on the Word of God and what it is.
Yes.
What it is to us and its place.
Right.
The prayer that you've shown here is a direct application as it's intended to be.
Exactly right. That's why I brought that up. Thank you, Nate, because that's why I brought it up. So we're not off our subject. We're right in the middle of our subject. You know, how do we use the Bible? What is it? What is this treasure that God gave us? See, when I pray, I've already got the answer. It's in that book. I don't, you know, I'm supposed to bring the answer to him. That's what he wants. He wants us to bring his ways to him. See, that's what plugs us together. That's where that unity and covenant works. I'm making a demand on the covenant. Mm-hmm. We make a demand on the word, the way we write a check and make a demand on the account. Mm-hmm. And we've been given an inheritance. The book's full of it. We have to make a demand on that inheritance. If not, the inheritance is still there, mm-hmm. belongs to us, but it's not functioning where we're concerned. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
And it's not complicated. When I get the understanding of, I got to know that it's absolute truth. I've got to settle things with God. I got to know that I'm a child of God. I have a right to come in. I don't have to beg. Oh, God, please save my son. He's already done that. Your son is saved already. Now he needs revelation knowledge of that. Father, thank you for laborers across his pathway. Thank you, Lord. You know those divine encounters that he needs. And Father, I'm praying this word. I'm believing this word that he has understanding, that his eyes are open, that laborers are coming across his pathway. I thank you, Lord. I don't know how. I don't care what I see. I see only that your word is truth. And that's your prayer once you've settled it with God. And do it daily. Don't stop. But this is something good. These three prayers, there's more in the Bible. There's a ton of prayers in the Bible. You can do the same thing with. But these are specific that you can pray for anybody, for any reason. Because it covers everything. I love the way Paul prayed.
Amen.
I've done something else. Kathy asked about praying for loved ones, so I told her I had some pamphlets. So I made copies of them. And what we're doing is more detailed, but there's specific scriptures tied in there and how to get your prayers answered and how to pray for unsaved loved ones. So thank you, Nate. So I made copies for you. And they're good. They got the scriptures you can back up with a little small teaching. You apply that, basically the same thing we're saying here, but we're covering it in a deeper way. But it's something you can take home along with this and read and apply those scriptures they have. They have the references in there, not the scriptures. So apply those when you study those prayers, the scriptures that I outline in there. Like on how to get your prayers answered. It's got a whole list. Promises for the marriage, promises for healing, promises for peace of mind. Those are scriptures related to those things that you can pray. Promises for unsaved loved ones, promises for your children, promises for prosperity. You know, those are in there. You read those scriptures and take time to study those because they're powerful. This is something that we all need to be doing. And we put so little emphasis on it in our daily life. We'll even put emphasis on going to church. We don't realize that everything revolves around communion with God, and that's what prayer is. And we're supposed to be, and going to prayer meetings, I mentioned before, it's not that I'm not against prayer meetings, but most of them are not right. Or they're more begging sessions than they are prayer. And I'm not judging that. That's all they know. And God, by his grace, will answer a lot of those prayers because of the condition of the heart of the person. He always sees the heart and he hears the heart and he'll answer the heart cry of a person. But he expects us to grow up. He expects us to...
Well, some preachers say when you get your prayers answered like that, that's a faith accident.
Yeah, and it's not an accident.
It's not... All those accidents are no accident.
There are no such thing as an accident with God. You know, he's looking for a little hole, and you gave him one. And he ran in that hole. I've got to be convinced he's not keeping anything back from me. What his word says he gave us, he gave us. It's ours. It's not God's fault if it's not working. Usually it's something that I'm not doing right or correct. I'm inaccurate somewhere. I'm out of my love walk isn't right.
Yeah.
Something's out of order. And those three is where you check up. Your love walk, is the word actually abiding, or are you just reading it? And am I applying my faith to the word, or am I applying my faith to the problem? See, there's a difference. So, okay, I guess I went a little bit long, but I had to get to this place. So, well, Father, we thank you for this time together in the word. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we've had. Lord, teach us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing these things back to remembrance to us. Teach us in the way that we need to learn, the way we learn, the way we come to understanding individually and corporately. Father, we thank you for teaching us these things and keeping them before our remembrance, Lord. We want to be effective. We want to know you in the fullness of who you are. And we want to pray your will. We want to be instrumental in bringing your will to pass. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Remember, God's more concerned about your family than you are.
That's really true.
He was so concerned, he died for them before they even existed.
Yeah.
When I can realize that, that helps me out a lot.